Let's go ahead and get out your Bibles and turn to the book of Habakkuk. The lesson this evening will come from the book of Habakkuk. We'll start reading in chapter 3, verse 16. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. Habakkuk 3, verse 16. I hear and my body trembles. My lips quiver at the sound. Rottenness enters into my bones. My legs tremble beneath me. Yet I'll quietly wait for the day of trouble to come upon the people who invade us. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold and there be no herds in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places.
I hope in the Sunday nights to come to deal with some Old Testament themes that are very relevant to our day and time. I appreciate the reading from the book of Habakkuk. I think as you get to understand that book, that's a very moving passage, as we'll be covering this at the end of the study tonight, exactly the significance of that. If you have a copy of the outline, and we do have lots of copies available, unlike this morning, I'm sorry we didn't print enough this morning, but if you got a copy of the outline, you've noticed the title of the sermon is Why, God? And we're really continuing a theme that we started this morning about dealing with doubt. And there's some practical doubt. If you're looking around and you're looking at society and you're looking at the very narrow time frame in which we have lived, that's generally the perspective we have of history, a very narrow one. But nonetheless, there are times as you look out and you begin to wonder, does it pay to serve God? Now, here I am. I'm doing right. I'm trying to be a law-abiding citizen. I'm trying to be kind to others. I'm trying to do my best. And here an economic trouble comes and I lose my job. Or I'm doing right and people start gossiping about me and they turn their back on me. I'm doing right and I just can't seem to even take care of my bills. And here are wicked people. And they're prospering and they don't care about God. Why, God? Now, that's not an uncommon theme in the Old Testament, nor in our own lives. Again, continuing the theme this morning, it's not wrong to ask why. Notice again, the psalmist did this. David in this case, or Asaph, I believe in this case. Psalm 73 and verse 12, it says, Behold, these are the ungodly, who are always at ease. They increase in riches. Surely I've cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocence. For all day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. You know, men of faith can have doubts. Here, the psalmist began to wonder, you know, does it pay to serve God? Did I cleanse my hands in vain? Did I wash my hands in innocence? Does it really pay? Now, if you keep reading this particular passage, Asaph went to the house of God, took the long perspective, and understood the end of the wicked. This life is not all there is. Christian, we have a perspective in life where we can understand what the world cannot. People think of the here and now and what just relates to me, and that's how they view everything, whether it's good or bad. That is not the Christian perspective. We'll certainly see that tonight about Habakkuk. You know, doubts will help you when it's combined with faith. Continuing the theme this morning, take a doubt and pursue truth. Take a doubt and pursue Scripture. Take a doubt and demand reason and answers and find the answers God has given. Habakkuk had the very doubt that Asaph had. As you start with the book of Habakkuk, Habakkuk chapter 1 and verse 1, he's looking out just like Asaph did and said, Man, Judah's going to the dogs. Look at what's going on. Look at the apostasy in the church. Look at what the priests are doing. Look at the wicked and look at the righteous. And he prays to God and almost makes accusations toward God. Now, I believe This is done by faith. He's expressing his doubts to God. But read with me. The burden which the prophet Habakkuk saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry? And you will not hear? Even cry out to you violence, and you will not save. Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? For plundering and violence are before me. There is strife and contention arises. Therefore the law is powerless, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, therefore perverse judgment proceeds. You know, Habakkuk was concerned. God, why aren't you doing something about this? Now, I'm going to tell you, that was foolish on Habakkuk's part, but not foolish in the sense that he asked God. You know, there are times, as I suggested earlier, we have a very narrow view of history. And we kind of want God to deal with something right now, the moment we pray about it. Let me tell you something about our God. He is ruling and reigning amongst the nations. He knows what is going on in our society. He knows what's going on in our town. And He knows what's going on in your heart and your life. And trust me, if you're trusting in God and serving Him, He will take care of you. The theme of the book of Habakkuk is the just shall live by faith. We're going to get there as we develop this. But notice here, Habakkuk, you know, is thinking, well, what's going on? Why is this continuing? Is God not seeing things? Of course he knows God sees things. God sees all things. But he's wondering, why is this happening more quickly? Is God indifferent? Good people are losing the battle. And let me say something again in our culture, in our society. Good people can, quote, lose the battle in a society. Now, we don't lose the battle as long as we're faithful to God, but our numbers can decrease. A culture can become so hostile. Things can happen in a country where the wicked abound and the righteous are becoming less and less and less. That does not mean that the purpose of God is failing. It does mean, however, as we'll see tonight, and if you study history, it means that country may fail. Ask Sodom and Gomorrah when they failed to have a certain number of righteous people in that particular community and what happened. So again, we need to understand a longer view. You know, sometimes personally we might ask this question. Does God see what I'm going through? Have you ever asked that? Now I have to admit to you, one of my weaknesses sometimes, if I'm tired and I think I've had a bad time, sometimes I'll go to a pity party, you know. Have you ever had a pity party and you start thinking about all the bad things that have happened to me? Have you ever preached your own funeral? You know, I've done that a few times. What if I died? And how everybody would be sad if I died? You know, pity parties, I understand that's a temptation at times. But I'm going to tell you something. When we get our mind back, God sees and He understands. But He doesn't act like a servant boy. It's not like the genie that comes out of the bottle and you get the wish and you get what you want right then. God's got a plan for you and me. And part of that plan is suffering. We need to understand and trust God. But asking questions is a good thing. One writer says we are born questioners. Look at the wonderment of a little child in his eyes before it can speak. The child's great word when it begins to speak is why. Every child is full of every kind of question about every kind of thing that moves and shines and changes in the little world which it lives. This is the incipient doubt in the nature of man. Respect doubt for its origin. It is an inevitable thing. It is not a thing to be crushed. It is part of man as God made him. Doubt is the prelude of knowledge. I think that's a good quote. Now Habakkuk got an answer. Remember, Habakkuk's questioning God. He goes, God, you need to do something. You need to do something now. You need to do something. And God answers Habakkuk. Okay, Habakkuk, I'm going to do something. Here's what I'm going to do. Verse 5. Now, I'll tell you something. If you could imagine this from Habakkuk's standpoint. This is your country. This is your land. This is your neighborhood. And a terrible, large country, wicked, violent people are about to do what God said that He's going to do. Verse 5. Look among the nations and watch, be utterly astounded. For I'll work a work in your days which you would not believe though we were told you. For indeed I am raising up the Chaldeans, a bitter and hasty nation which marches through the breadth of the earth to possess dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity proceeds from themselves. Their horses are swifter than leopards and more fierce than evening wolves. Their chargers charge ahead. Their cavalry comes from afar. They fly as the eagle that hastens to eat. They all come for violence. Their faces are set like the east wind. They gather captives like sand. They scoff at kings, and princes are scorned by them. They deride every stronghold, for they heap up earthen mounds and seize it. Then his mind changes and he transgresses. He commits offense, ascribing this power to his God. Whoa. Could you imagine? Imagine this. If God had revealed, and he's not revealing to prophets today, the New Testament is sealed. That's the last revelation that he's going to give. But just imagine, just as an illustration, you knew that God was going to send China to come in here and take this place over and plunder and kill a large part of the population and destroy its industry. Just think for a moment what that would be like. Your friends would die. You will be in starvation. You will go through difficulty that you cannot imagine, and there's nothing you probably will do throughout your lifetime and your children's and children's lifetime to overthrow that bondage. Whoa. God was going to use Babylon to take out Judah. And these people were going to slaughter the Jews, and they were going to not even give God credit. They were going to laugh about it. Now, why does God do that? Brethren, let me just take aside and just take just a brief step aside from Habakkuk and address something that you and I need to understand about the place of our country in the process of God, in the character of God. There is no country that has ever existed in the history of earth that is invincible. Countries will rise and countries will fall. We can have an additional study on this later, looking at the book of Revelation, looking at other passages, but Jesus is described as ruling amongst the nations. And when a nation approaches a level of wickedness over time, God takes them out. It could happen to us. I love this country. I think this country is the greatest country, from my perspective of history, that has ever existed outside of the Israel, when God established Israel. But we are simply, as the book of Isaiah says, the nations are nothing more than dust on the scale. And when God takes time, wants that nation to no longer exist, it's kind of like doing this. And it's gone. But going back here, God was going to judge Judah. You know why he's going to judge Judah? They've become so wicked. He's going to take the wicked out. Now, in this course of our study, we're going to find the righteous are going to be taken care of. God knows what he's doing. But now, I like this part of the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk hears God's answers. He understands what God says, and then he's got a bigger problem. And he starts trying to talk to God. Now, God, you can't do what you just said. Now, you just can't do it. It's against your character. Notice what he says. You know, look at the verse, Habakkuk 1, verse 12. Are you not from everlasting, O Lord my God, my Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, you have appointed them for judgment. O rock, you have appointed them for correction. You are of purer eyes than to behold evil and cannot look on wickedness. Why do you look on those who deal treacherously and hold your tongue when the wicked devours a person more righteous than he? And so these are some good questions. Now wait, I know we're bad, God, but Babylon? Babylon. They're unbelievers. They're idolaters. They're more cruel than we are. How can you do that and still be God? Good question, Habakkuk. And goes on, and it's interesting, as God reveals the back of the kind of destruction that's coming. The Babylons are described this way, verse 14. Why do you make men like fish of the sea, like creeping things that have no ruler over them? They take up all of them with a hook. They catch them in their net. They gather them in their dragnet. Therefore they rejoice and are glad. In other words, when the Babylonians come in, they're not just content with doing like we do with our military today, a little peripheral damage, We don't want to hurt the civilians. We just kind of want to go in and topple the power. No, the Babylonians come in like a fisherman. You catch them with a hook. You catch them with a net. You catch them with a drag net. They want to destroy as much as they can. And it says, therefore they sacrifice through their net and burn incense through their drag net. Because by them their share is sumptuous and their food plentiful, shall they continue to empty their net and continue to slay nations without pity? God, you can't let this happen. Now, that's a mistake to ever to say that to God, okay? Remember how Peter tried to rebuke Jesus. You know, you're not going to die, Lord. Be far from you. And remember what Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. Well, Habakkuk knows enough to know that he doesn't know. And I love this verse. We read it this morning. Habakkuk raises more questions to God in verse 1. I will stand at my watch and set myself on the rampart. And I will watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. He knows he's going to be corrected. He's honest with God. And here he is. He wants to know. You see, he's not running from his doubt. I want to know. Okay, I'm going to find out what God says here. I'm going to find out about the character of God. These seem to be contradictions. Let me know what the truth is. You know, it's very important, brethren, for us not to be just complainers. I understand bad things happen to all of us. I understand that questions come up and they're not easy answers to questions that we deal with in life. But listen, do more than complain. Draw close to God. Look at the examples of men of faith that suffered. Take time to look within the Scriptures to understand His character, to understand the long view. Don't just complain all the time. And you know, when you certainly can't hear when you close your ears in anger. You know, a lot of times bad things happen to people. They get mad. How could God let this happen? How could a loving God let this happen? And they turn their back on God, buddy. When you start getting mad at God, you've lost. That's not what Habakkuk is doing here. One writer says, your doubt can become a good quality if you train it. Ask it whenever it wants to spoil something for you. Why something is ugly? Demand proofs from it. Test it. And you'll find it perhaps bewildering and embarrassed, perhaps also protesting. But don't give in. Insist on arguments and act this way, attentive and persistent every single time. And the day will come when instead of being a destroyer, it'll perhaps become one of your best workers, perhaps the most intelligent of all the ones that are building in your life. If you've ever had doubt, ask questions, ask questions, ask questions. That's a good thing to do. And God will give you answers. Now, what do you think God said to Habakkuk? God's answer is real simple. Habakkuk, okay, I'm ready to answer you. Here's your answer. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on the tablets, that he who may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it. Because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Now, brethren, let's understand one thing about our God. When He tells us something, you can count on it. When He gives you a promise, you can count on it. Our God is not like a man. Now, you know how sometimes with my kids, you know, I'll be grumpy and they do something and I'm going to take this away from you and I'm going to do this. And then, you know, I realized I acted in anger and sometimes I go back on what I say I'm going to do. You know how it is, particularly grandparents. You know your job is with the grandchildren is to spoil them, you know. You might say something real bad, take away their ice cream, but then, you know, you go back on that. And you know how men are. We're fickle, but not God. God is not swayed by emotion. God is doing good in this. God is looking for the preservation of the righteous ultimately in this. God is looking for the coming of Jesus Christ in this and the purging of Israel. You see, God acts on principle. God will punish the wicked. He will bring down wicked nations. He is utterly consistent in that. And brethren, one more time, I want to tell you something. This life is not meant to be fair. It's not meant to be easy. When you serve Christ, you need to understand God will provide for you and bless you. But in the here and now, don't expect things to come out even. But we're looking for the eternal side of things. And when things go difficulty, that's when we show our faith. The theme of the book of Habakkuk is found here in Habakkuk 2 and verse 4. By the way, it's quoted in the New Testament several times. And I hope you'll come to appreciate this phrase. In Habakkuk 2 and verse 4, behold the proud. His soul is not upright in him. Now notice the next phrase. But the just shall live by his faith. Brethren, much more important than your 401k is your faith. Much more important than the education you may have and the blessings that that education may give you is your faith. Much more important than who you date or who you choose to marry or the kind of career you may have or what people think of you is your faith. Build a strong faith. Seek that faith. And if you will, God will take care of you in whatever may happen in this old world. The proud is described here in their end, how they'll be destroyed as along with the other nations. You know, it's very interesting. When we talk about God dealing with nations, the righteous are going to suffer too. You know, the people that would be in Judah at this time would suffer too. But one of the things that you would understand with a one who walks by faith, the here and now is not the essence of who we are. They're going to be taken care of. You continue to read through the book of Habakkuk, you see the terrible things that would happen. We'll read a few of them, not all of them. There's five statements made. It says, will not all these take up a proverb against him and a taunting riddle against him and say, woe to him who increases. What is not his, how long? And to him who loads himself with many pledges. Will not your creditors rise up suddenly? Will they not awaken who oppress you and you become their booty? Because you have plundered many nations and the remnant of the people shall plunder you because of men's blood and the violence in the land and the city and of all who dwell in it. Woe to him who covets evil gain for his house, that he may set his nest on high, that he may be delivered from the power of disaster. You read the passage here, it talks about pride and arrogance. It sounds like our country. It sounds like the righteous now are being pictured as radicals and extremists to be pushed and ignored and even sometimes maybe eventually persecuted. You look at the arrogance in what happens within a nation, and God says, this is why I'm bringing this nation down. And so God was doing something out of principle that was right, and God will do it as long as he lives. He will take care of those things. So it's interesting here, Habakkuk, it's almost comical that he thought he knew something God didn't know. But Habakkuk learned something that he didn't know. You know, as we look at God, we need to understand this one truth. And really, again, most every sermon I preach, I'll tell you, there's one point I'd like you to really remember what I'm saying. This is it. It's real simple. Listen to God. Set aside your emotions. Set aside your view of right and wrong. Come to understand the character of God. Go to God with your doubts. But when you've gone to Him with your doubts, look at His Word and do what Habakkuk 2:20 tells you to do. It says, but the Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silent before Him. And the idea here is not coming into an assembly and being quiet. The idea is here is the Lord is speaking from heaven. And when He speaks, keep that mouth shut and listen, listen. There are things God will teach us if we'll slow down enough to understand His perspective. Again, I'll tell you, I love this country. I appreciate the abundance that we have. I don't want this country to fail. I don't want it to go through that because I'll be hurt as well. But I need to prepare my mind now that whatever may happen in my life personally or within the nation that I live, I'm going to walk by faith. You can take the things that I possess. You can take my health. And it'll be okay. Because ultimately what I want is to have fellowship with my God and to be with Him forever. And the here and now is going to be destroyed. God's wrath is coming. God's wrath is shown it's not only shown in the final days, but I believe it's shown, as I suggested earlier, in the destruction of nations and the judgments that's brought upon countries. The Bible says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. You know, we don't like to hear a lot about the wrath of God or hell, but it's real. The reason why Jesus died on that Roman cross was to save us from the wrath of God, from a hell that is more real than the things that we see here and now. These things will depart and they will go away, but heaven and hell are the things that will last for an eternity. God's wrath is real. God does not want to hurt us. He does not want us to be separated. He does not want us to experience these things. And that's why sometimes there are physical judgments and things that are allowed to come into your life to kind of, so to speak, bring you down from your pride and get you to open your eyes and come to see what really lasts. That's the process that's being worked here. I love the third chapter of Habakkuk, because these are some really hard things. I don't know if we can fully appreciate, and I've said it already, of what it would be like to be in Habakkuk's shoes. And you know the train that's coming down the track, and buddy, it's not going to stop. But now notice his response. He struggles, but he just starts praising God. A prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet, on Shinagoth. Oh Lord, I have heard your speech and was afraid. Oh Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known in wrath. Remember mercy. You know, it's interesting. When you come to know God, and even in difficult times, when you understand how God is working and what He's doing, you give Him praise. And I want to suggest to you, if you're going through trouble sometimes, if things are difficult, learn how to praise God. Learn to look to Him and understand that He holds things ultimately, the end of the matter. He's not going to let you suffer forever. Don't sit on the sidelines fuming for very long. God knows what is best. Look at verse 13. Another key verse in the book of Habakkuk. And I really do believe with all my heart the entirety of human history, including our current history, is dependent upon one thing: how God is working amongst the nations, how He is working to bring forth the things that He's doing, I believe is described here. You went forth for the salvation of your people, for salvation with your anointed. You struck the head from the house of the wicked by laying bare from foundation to neck. Why was this happening to Judah? So that more people could be saved. Do you realize how arrogant men would be if the wicked were never challenged in this life? Could you imagine how arrogant men would be if there was never suffering? I don't want to suffer. I'm not looking forward to suffering. I'm not rushing out, hey, let me suffer, let me be hurt. But understand there's a process here. Men need to understand it. No, you don't last forever. You're not guaranteed another day of life. You're not guaranteed another day of health. And the country that you live in is not guaranteed that it will last forever. I'll have to admit to you, brethren, this year has been one of the more startling years in my life to see how far and how fast things can happen, even to our country. It's been amazing just from the financial standpoint of how quickly a country can fall. So let us not have put confidence in things which don't last. God is working a plan. And I believe what we're doing here right now tonight is more important than what the president of this country is doing. It's more important than any government. I believe the entirety of the history of mankind and how God works His plan is based upon the salvation of His people. Thomas Jefferson, by the way, I just moved from Charlottesville, Virginia, and that's Thomas Jefferson's home, and they almost worship him like a deity. And Thomas Jefferson was a very strange man in many ways. Some good things he said, some bad things he said. But I like this quote. God who gave us life gave us liberty. Can the liberty of a nation be secure when we have removed a conviction that these liberties are the gift of God? Indeed, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, and that His justice cannot sleep forever. Thomas got it right on that one. God will handle those things in His own time. But God, back at what He did in the case of His country, He would just go ahead and look ahead for the faithful. The passage we read earlier is a moving verse to me. Here's Habakkuk to sum it all up. What does he do? He prays to God. Look at verse 16. When I heard, my body trembled. My lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered my bones, and I trembled in myself, that I might rest in the day of trouble. When He comes up to the people, He will invade them with His troops. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, Though the flock may be cut off from the fold and there be no sheep in the stalls. We see he's talking about, you know, you're going to suffer. You're not going to have enough to eat. But notice, in the midst of this, I'm going to rejoice. I serve a God who knows me. I serve a God who has forgiven me. I serve a God who holds me within His hand. And come what may, even to the taking of my life, I know I'll stand with Him. Verse 18. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet. And He will make me to walk on my high hills. Wow. I love that. As I said, there's various levels that we can make the application in this lesson. From our own personal sufferings in times of doubt and times of despair to how God works amongst the nations. The book of Micah puts it this way, Micah 7 and verse 7. Therefore I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Do not rejoice over me, my enemy. When I fall, I will arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light unto me. I want to give you one more verse from the book of Hebrews. One of my favorite verses. Don't quit. What you need to understand is that when the day of trouble comes, there is a longer view you take. There is the eternal view. Notice the exhortation here in verse 35. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance. So then after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Look at verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith. Where do we hear that? Book of Habakkuk. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. We are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. Brethren, I don't have the answers for everything. I have things that I have doubts, and I'm perceiving answers to those doubts, and I'm seeking those. But there's some things I do know. I know there is a God. I know my God has spoken. I know the character of my God, that He'll always do right, and that His promises are always true. I know that Jesus is the Son of God. I know that He died on the cross for my sins, that He was raised from the dead, that He's a living Lord. And then I can be forgiven through His blood. By the way, tonight in the college class, we're going to be talking about how do you establish those truths to somebody that doesn't believe in the Bible. Hope you can come to that if possible. But the one thing, as I look in my life, I live it by faith. I know whom I've served. I know what my God has promised. And knowing that, that's where I'll stand. How about you? If we can assist you in becoming a Christian tonight, if we can assist you in taking that stand of faith, we want to extend the invitation to you. What is your need? How can we help you? If you'll come at this time as we stand and sing.